I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth. This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is made possible by a grant from NetPets.
Announcing NetPets, fractional ownership of your very own travel companion. Your leased NetPet will join you on your private jet for as many hours a month as you desire. Always ravishing and medically certified, your NetPet will make those long hauls to Europe and Asia a whole lot shorter. NetPets come in male and female models, or both, for the adventurous. For real savings, we also offer fully reconditioned, pre-owned NetPets. And of course, at the end of any lease, there's always the option to buy. P.S. Billing will appear on your credit card as Jet Snacks Incorporated.
Though red states feel uncomfortable with same-sex marriage, some conservatives have found something they do like. Our Pepper Lewis reports.
Merton Earle and his friends in the town of Placid, South Carolina, were complaining about gay marriage when they had a revelation.
Well, we were saying if I could marry another guy, I could marry a giraffe, or I can marry a toaster, or I can marry my shotgun. And then I realized I could marry my shotgun.
Merton's parents said they were shocked when their son announced he would marry a 22-inch Browning A-Bolt 12-gauge with a 3-inch chamber and a satin walnut stock, but they've since come to accept it.
They're always together. He's got a million photographs of the thing.
And he talks to it.
He does. For hours. And you know, I think this sort of gun love runs in the family.
I experimented a little in high school.
But Merton's friend Tateman says he's having a hard time dealing with this.
It's one thing if two men get together and they know what they're doing, but is a gun really aware it's making a lifetime commitment? Is this altogether fair to the gun? Oh, who am I kidding? I was in love with that gun, too. Why didn't I speak up first?
We're here at the ceremony where Merton and his gun are taking their vows where they first fell in love. In a deer blind, covered in buck urine.
Do you, Merton Charlemagne Earle, take this gun to be your lawfully wedded gun, to aim and to fire, in sickness and in health, until it's pried from your cold, dead fingers?
I do.
Then by the power vested in me by the great state of South Carolina, I now pronounce you man and gun. You may now kiss the gun on the mouth.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh! Post office admits making up disgruntled workers to scare away IRS.
Matthew Broderick divorces Sarah Jessica Parker for saying, Bueller, during sex.
New York City may decriminalize being black and cool.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hi, this is Mike Pence, Tea Party Grand Panjandrum and proud Grizzly Dad First Class. I have a word today for the brave men and women of our fighting forces, disabled by massive injuries while winning our glorious victories in Iraq and Afghanistan. Look, guys, we know that thanks to amazing advances in rehabilitative medicine and prosthetics, you are now surviving injuries that in our previous glorious victories in the Gulf War and Panama and Grenada would have left you among our glorious dead. And thank God for that. But there's a little problem. The great nation you patriotically swore to patriotically defend and patriotically protect is patriotically broke. Soldier, what we at the Tea Party are trying to say in the nicest way we know, America doesn't have the wherewithal to support your massively expensive disabled lifestyle. not today, not tomorrow, and sure as sugar, not 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, or 90 years down the road. And honestly, when you look down that road, what kind of life is it going to be a few years from now, or even 30, 40, 50, 60? You get the idea. With two plastic legs and a face that looks like Mason Verger after Hannibal's finished with him. How long is your wife or husband going to be able to take the stress of caring for your kids, holding down a job, or two, or three, or four, and providing 24/7, 365 hospice care for a seriously disabled human being? And when they finally walk out on you, even if your equipment is still intact, well, I needn't go on. But I will. We in the Tea Party support our troops unconditionally. We just don't support you financially. What do you call that, soldier? Glory? Patriotism? Loving America? Look, you did your part and the Tea Party is proud of the sacrifices you made. Sorry, but there it is. Tough talk for the toughest of the toughest talking toughs. Go someplace else and ask for money with your one good hand out.
Guns don't marry people. People with guns marry people. Oh, who am I kidding? Guns marry people!
WBEZ, Chicago.
It's a new world. The factories are gone. And while this isn't your father's Oldsmobile, they're not building Oldsmobiles anymore, so even if your father hadn't left you when you were 8 and made you spend your life writing poetry about the trauma, he wouldn't even have an Oldsmobile. I'm Ira Glass, and today on our show, It's a New World, stories of people making do in the new economy. Act 1, Our New Thing. Diantha Stasis Friedman reports from Brooklyn.
Sarah Sparrow Biasetti is dressing for a meeting, or as she likes to call it, a meet. She carefully adjusts her wooden beaded necklace.
My friend curated a video retrospective of the 1970s, and I just fell in love with them. I think of them as like little individual bullets of vegetable life. I'd love to wear one of my skirts today. They're made from recycled fabrics picked up at the Goodwill. There's this maker in Bushwick, really interesting example of reuse, but well, we're on our bikes today, so I guess not.
We ride over to Third Eye, a shop selling handcrafted objects in Fort Greene. Sarah doesn't like to shake hands. She says it's an artifact of the days when people had to prove to enemies they were unarmed. So instead, she greets the owner, Ian Danforth, with a hug.
Great to see you. The shop is looking so great.
Thanks.
These wooden briefcases, they're gorgeous. I love the irony.
Thanks.
But aren't they, like, vulnerable to fire?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're made of wood, so I guess...
Wow, did you see what happened to that tea shop on Adelphi Street? Totally burned out.
Yeah, I heard, so...
So listen, my friends and I, we have this art collective thing, but we're also getting into personal wellness. We try to secure spaces, you know, make them stable in a kind of energetic and physical way. This is such an energetic space. It would be a shame if something happened to it.
Back at what she calls her office, the back room of a food co-op called Kai Organics, Sarah talks to me about her vision of entrepreneurship.
It's kind of a free-form business model where we don't so much work in traditional flows of capital from consumer to producer, but we insert ourselves into the process in interesting and sometimes transgressive ways. I like to think of it as just our thing.
For example, last year, Sarah and her partners, mostly art school graduates and indie filmmakers who didn't get the grants they wanted on Kickstarter, started talking to the many Starbucks stores now in Brooklyn. They came up with a novel plan. The stores would hire avatars, people who draw no espresso shots, who don't actually show up for work, but are nonetheless paid.
We think of it as a victimless performance.
That's Michael Wolkover, Sarah's partner in life and business. He's tall, with a bushy beard and a ubiquitous bicycling cap.
In one state of being, I'm working at Starbucks, doing the 8-hour shift, getting paid. In another, more physical state, I'm out making my images of the waterfront. Or maybe I'm down at the bar.
Michael and Sarah head up one of the many collectives, or crews, of artists, writers, and liberal arts majors who came to Brooklyn to pursue their muse and found that the arts weren't what they once were. Instead, they found a way to insert themselves into a stream of more traditional kinds of commerce. To dip the beak, as they like to say.
There are a lot of inefficiencies in the traditional business model. A lot of places where stuff falls off of trucks. And we happen to know a lot of bicyclists who follow trucks around.
Things are going well for Sarah and Michael and their friends, especially now that they've resolved a conflict with another group, based out of a weaving workshop. Both groups were vying for opportunity along the gentrifying Atlantic Avenue. Fortunately, that conflict was resolved when the weaving workshop burned to the ground, killing two. For now, Sarah and Michael are happy with where things are.
We're not a traditional hidebound business. We let people find their own way, create their own models, whatever feeds their spirit. All we care about is how thick the envelope is at the end of the week. And of course, if people are growing.
Funny. I used to think I could make a living just by being myself, but now, forget about it.
Yeah.
Diantha Stasis Friedman in Brooklyn. Next up, a guy who hits people over the head and takes things from them. Stay with us.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Natural causes kill 30,000 Putin opponents simultaneously.
Pope Benedict condemns biology as unnatural.
Trending Fidel Castro hashtag. Get CIA directors' hopes up.
Immediately after the Supreme Court's decision on the Health Care Reform Act, also known as Obamacare, the Final Edition Radio Hour went to the streets to find out what the average Americans thought of the decision.
I wait up to 4 hours to see a doctor. I don't want the government cutting that time in half.
I'm against Obamacare. You know what we really need? We need a national health care plan that allows pre-existing conditions and funded by an individual mandate, not Obamacare.
Health care doesn't cure people. People with health care cure people.
Oh, Uma cannot love health care.
Hey, if I wanted to be healthy, I'd be healthy.
I really don't want the government involved in my health care because the next thing you know, they're just going to be telling me that I have to eat broccoli and lay off the sugary drinks. And, like, Bloomberg is going to be an example for the nation, and I'm really not up for that. So I think it's, what did you ask me again?
All right, so we don't get Obamacare. They didn't say anything about Obamacade.
I already got a health care plan. It's called RIBS.
Oh, are they going to cure Linsanity?
I think the Supreme Court should have to have the same health care as the rest of us.
I got your health care right here. It's my dick. My dick will make you healthy.
A well-regulated relationship being necessary to the secure state of matrimony, the right of the people to keep and marry arms shall not be infringed. Oh, am I kidding? I'd love to be infringed!
I'm Professor Peter Singer. I'm the father of animal rights. Before me, animals had no rights. Now, happily, they have more rights than we do. That's why I'm talking to you today about the scourge of funny cat videos. Every day, all over the internet, cats are subjected to degrading, humiliating, and dangerous conditions in the cause of so-called humour. Cats are used and abused as the butt of so-called jokes. Cats suffer repetitive stress syndrome and crippling injury from endless repetitions of so-called gags. Cats are put in danger of life and limb so that stupid humans can go, "Oh, isn't he cute?" Listen, calling cats cute is like saying African Americans have natural rhythm. It's speciesist. which is a word I made up and I can't say any more than you can, but is a very negative word. Funny cat videos are offensive to cats. Funny cat videos exploit cats. They objectify cats. Funny cat videos rob cats of their civil rights. How would we like it if cats made funny human videos? Where humans were slammed into aquariums and TVs and caught in ceiling fans and stuck in garbage pails and pots and fell out of windows and planes over and over and over. Not much, right? Right. So don't laugh at funny cat videos anymore. Thank you.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
England-Italy soccer match closer than indicated by 0-0 score.
Sandusky, Ohio changes name to... No, not that Sandusky.
Porn producers decry lack of quality Hollywood movies to parody.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Visit thefinaledition.com every day for more sizzling satire with teeth.
Hi, I'm a normal 21st century American male. I'm a member of the coveted 1849 male market. Right now I'm in the sweet spot, 27. For the past 9 years or so, I've been happily parked in permanent adolescence, glued to screens varying in size from a few square inches to several square yards, catching permanent adolescents just like me, cavort in familiar locations like beaches or offices or cars or campuses, performing the same actions as I do, or teaching me ones I'm happy to ape, and using the same words and phrases as I do, or using ones I'm happy to parrot, reassuring me that I'm a normal 21st century male enjoying the best years of his life. As the birthdays come and go, I continue to respond each day to the same limited stimuli I've learned to enjoy since my late teens. Sports, cheap beer, life-threatening food, speeding cars, violent mayhem, extreme versions of the female anatomy, and endless trivial variants of the very screen-based technology on which I am receiving all these stimuli. On occasion, for variety, the stimuli will include serious issues, emotional timeouts, if you like, patriotism, prepackaged romance, ancient tribal phobias. At work, my permanent adolescence makes me swing wildly between testosterone-driven impulsiveness and chronically uninformed indecision. I fall ever further behind my female coworkers in originality, productivity, and creativity. Luckily for me, the system is male-skewed enough that this will not make me financially inferior. But my total political ignorance means I don't realize the system's days are numbered. If I ever wonder, in the downtime between screens, whether the best years of my life have actually been stolen, that my true maleness, boundless energy, raw curiosity, rebellion, inventiveness, the need to question, are being relentlessly abraded into intellectual incoherence and social impotence, I hurry by such scary thoughts as if they were a graveyard, back to the familiar images of a non-existent existence where irresponsibility equals companionship, dangerous behavior has no consequences, and pain, provided it isn't my own, is hilarious. Hey, adolescence is fun! In America, what could be wrong with being forever young? As the years pile up, I remain in this state of suspended development, hypnotized by the familiar flashing pixels of cars, sports, beer, industrial nutrients, violent mayhem, and extreme versions of the female anatomy, until suddenly I turn 49. Just as suddenly, I realize I've somehow acquired two teenage kids, one of whom is about to become a member of the coveted 18 to 49 male market, and wears his baseball cap backwards, just like me. And both of whom consider me a loser and a zero. I suspect, with resentment rather than horror, that they might be right, that I have no real future. I'm far less fun and interesting than I imagined and was told I was by every available medium. That I am not powerfully built or burly, but morbidly obese. A political, intellectual, and social cretin without a coherent opinion in my screen-addled cortex, on the verge of divorce as the unemployed and unemployable husband of a working wife.
My only remaining sexual release, self-induced orgasms brought on by lurid pixels of sex trafficking victims my daughter's age, being raped by permanent adolescents, just like me. Plus, though I don't know it, I have in a mere 24 hours, my 49th birthday, become uncoveted by corporate America, peremptorily ejected from the vast warren of advertising and marketing in which I have spent not just the best years of my life, but my life. So what do? I turn to Jesus.
This American Life was brought to you by religion and the military-industrial complex.
The Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Ann Tuchel, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Peter Stagel, John Marshall, Barry Lank, Paul Seaburn, Mike Richardson Bryan, Jay Welch, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Be sure to visit thefinaledition.com often, multiple times a day, for your dose of sizzling satire with teeth. And be sure to share it with your friends. Put it on the Twitter and Facebook and add hashtags. Don't keep it to yourself. A sphere of secrecy. It's pointless. Not making you better than anyone else. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2012.